Thank you. If you'd like to take a seat. I wonder, if you pray, what words you choose to start your prayers with. Whether you always say the same things, or whether you say different things. Whether you think about it, or whether it just kind of happens. What sort of things do you start your prayers with? And why does Jesus tell us to pray to God our Father? Why, when he tells people how they should pray, does he say, begin it like this, Our Father in heaven? Why does he ask them to pray like that? Well, I think we learn a few different things from what Jesus says in asking people to pray to our Father in heaven. There are three things I think we can learn. And the first is that praying to God is not like Star Wars. All right, someone wrote on one of those pieces of paper that the perfect dad likes Star Wars, and which I think is lovely. So for those who enjoy Star Wars, in Star Wars there's the Force, isn't there? Yeah? Anyone ever watched Star Wars? Some people? Good. Okay. Excellent. Some surprising people. But, okay. So we know a little bit about survivals, don't we? Even Star Wars, there's the Force in Star Wars. And you've got Jedi, and they go around and they say things like, the Force is strong with this one. And things like this, okay? And use the Force. And things like this. And the Force is kind of this force. There's kind of, it's not a person, it's just like a, sort of described like almost a force of nature, like the wind. It's just kind of this thing that Jedi are somehow able to make use of and do things, amazing things with. And I'm sure someone who knows more about Star Wars than I do will come and tell me more about the Force later, and I shall look forward to that. But it's this kind of thing. Whereas when Jesus says, pray to our Father, he's saying that it's someone who is personal. That our Father is personal, that we're praying to a person, not to, this isn't about a thing, about a force that we're trying to control, but this is someone that we can know, that we can have a relationship with. There's a group that meets here called Yaz. It's for people who are 14 to 18, and usually meets on a Sunday evening, and every now and then we go and we have a weekend away, and we do all sorts of activities and things and silly stuff, and part of what we do is thinking about what it means to follow God as a young person. And a few years ago we did a weekend that we called Now It's Personal, because we recognised that it can be so easy, especially if you've grown up in church, to just have faith and God as this kind of thing that's part of your life, and to miss that actually we're talking about someone who wants to have a relationship with you. And it was amazing that as we did that over the weekend, as we spent some time, as we talked about prayer and the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and we took time to seek God together, we found that God was already seeking us. And I know for lots of people, when they go away to things like Spring Harvest or New Wine or Soul Survivor or the Big Church Day Out, or even taking an opportunity to come to the evening service, find that as they come and they seek God, they find that God is already seeking them. That we come and we meet someone who wants to have a relationship with us, our Father. It's not the kind of slot machine approach that we saw in that drama with Alex and Leah. There's kind of, you know, if you fill in this form, and if you say this right, and if you do that, and if you go to the right person, and if they like you, and if you've been good enough, then you might get your dinner. It's not that kind of approach. And when Jesus says, when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, it's important to pick up that he doesn't say this is what you should pray. He doesn't say this is what you should pray. So, you know, if you pray another way, then you're doing it wrong, because you've got to always say the Lord's Prayer and that's it. He's saying this is how you should pray. You should pray like this. That when you pray, you need to recognise you're coming to someone like a heavenly Father who wants to know you, to have a relationship with you. Sometimes I begin my prayers like this. I don't say anything at all, because actually, when we pray, sometimes we just say too much. Because if it's about knowing someone, then actually we want God to speak to us as well. And you might say, that's cheating, you haven't started praying, you're just sitting there quietly. But sometimes it's just about being quiet and remembering who God is, that there's this God who wants to know us. Our Father is personal. But what kind of relationship is it that he has with us? He talks about our Father, that God's like a father to us, that a father is a loving relationship, that he comes as a loving relationship, a father who cares for us. And the reading we had from Matthew chapter 7 told us something about that. Jesus uses the picture of dads that we have, of our fathers here, and saying, look, he uses these few things and says, look, if a son asks their dad for bread, then what dad would give him a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, then what dad would give him a snake? The parents that we know, good dads provide for their children. That they give them food. They're not going to give them something that's going to put them in danger like a snake if they've asked for something that they need to eat. That he's saying, even us lot, even we can figure out what it looks like to be a good dad. And as Helen said, we know that not everybody has had a great experience of dads, that their dad hasn't always been who they should have been. But even we can figure that out, can't we? Even we can figure out when someone's not acting in the way that they should. And Jesus is saying, how much more, if you can figure that out, how much more does God know what it means to be a loving father? How much more does God know what it means to be the perfect dad? If you can figure out for yourselves what it looks like to be a good dad, how much more does God, who knows everything, know what it means to be a perfect dad? You don't need to worry that God's not going to get it right, because he's this perfect dad. Heavenly, loving Father. Our Father is loving. And the word that he uses when he talks about Father is an unusual word. Little picture there for those who are a bit older. Because the word that he uses is the word Abba. Children, you might have to ask parents about that picture later. The word that he uses is the word Abba. And it's quite a controversial word that he uses. I mean, the Lord's Prayer is still controversial today. If you follow the news, then you'll know that the Church of England was banned from showing an advert that was just the Lord's Prayer in cinemas. They weren't allowed to show it because it was too controversial for the cinema. So we've said something this morning that you can't hear in the cinema because it's too rude for the cinema. But we've said it. So don't go home and tell people about it, or, you know, because you might get in trouble because it's very rude, what we've said this morning. And when Jesus said this, when he says this word Abba, it says, dear Father, Abba is the word that he uses. And that's a really unusual word to use if you're going to talk about God, because it's the word that a child would use to talk to their dad, a real word of affection. It's a bit like daddy, but it's not quite like daddy. It's a bit different to that, but it's a bit like a child addressing their dad and calling them daddy. It's a real word of this intimate and loving relationship. And Jesus comes along and says, this is how you can talk to dad. Not just Jesus as the Son of God, but us as God's adopted children get to call him that as well. Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. That we've been adopted into the family of God, and so we can have this close and intimate relationship with the Father like Jesus did. We get to call him Abba. We're his sons and daughters. Some of you a little while ago were reading the story of the prodigal son, reading that story of the son who demanded his father's wealth, took it away and squandered it, and then came back to his dad. And it's a picture of a heavenly father welcoming back his son, despite the fact he's got it all wrong, is running out to greet his son and welcoming him back. Of the Father who welcomes him back, however far away we've been, even when we've got it so wrong, who's still willing to welcome us back. A 6-year-old called Michael, when he was asked, why do we call God Father, said this, because when your dad's his very goodest, he's just a little bit like God. Our Father is loving. I wonder, though, if you can think of someone else, though, who is loving and kind. If you can think of a person, a real person or a fictional character who is loving and kind. I was thinking about this. I was slightly disappointed with the answers I came up with, so I thought I'd ask you and see if you could come up with anything better. I'm looking for a real person or a fictional character who we might describe as being someone who is really loving and kind. I'm coming out because I'm looking for actual answers. Edith. That's a good one. The fairy godmother in Cinderella. Anyone else? Someone who's loving and kind? We might consider loving and kind. Yeah.
Mothers,
yeah, in general, most of the time, yeah. Obviously, your mum's great. Anyway, that's good. My mum's... Josh, yeah. Florence Nightingale, yeah, okay, good. That got a lot of enthusiasm. Very good, Josh. Anybody else?
Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Nanny McPhee. Yeah, right at the back. Who? Mr. what?
Peabody.
Mr. Peabody. I don't know enough about whatever that is. Any others? Any other ideas? What? Mother Teresa, yeah, okay, this is good, yeah. Okay, so I came up with Mary Poppins, thank you very much, and Father Christmas as two people who, I mean, look at that picture of Mary Poppins there. Isn't that, like, you know, it's a lovely person. And, you know, Father Christmas, is anyone nicer than Father Christmas? And I guess my point is saying, look, here's two people, or here's lots of people we just named, who are loving and kind. So why don't we pray to them? You know, these are people, fictional or real, and, you know, they're also loving, kind, nice people. So, well, we should, if we're talking, you know, if we pray to our Father because he's loving and kind, why not pray to all these people who are loving and kind and nice? What's the difference? The difference is that we pray to our Father in heaven. We pray to our Father in heaven, our Father who is powerful. He's in heaven. Talking about heaven isn't talking about so much as the place where God lives, as the place where he is. But actually, the place where God is what we call heaven. That he's the one who's got authority and power. That God's the one who's the ruler of everything. That we get to call God Father, that we can come to him like his children. But that doesn't mean he's not powerful. It doesn't mean he's not the God who knows everything, who's got all the power that there possibly is. We'd get to call him Dad, which is amazing. But as we do that, we can't forget that he's still God. That we can be really, really close to him, but not disrespectful of him. That we come to him as the one who is holy and almighty God. He's God, and we can pray to him as dear Father, who's personal and loving and perfect. And he's also got all power under his control. We don't pray to Mary Poppins or Father Christmas. We pray to someone who's got power to act on our behalf. There's this beautiful picture in Romans chapter 5. If you've got some time, you might like to read it a bit later on. Romans chapter 5. And one of the verses in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, says this, talks about people before the throne of God holding bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. It's this amazing picture of the throne of God in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Amazing picture of power and the might and the wonder of who God is. And right in the middle of this picture, right at the point where it's talking about who Jesus is, there's this picture of people stood around the throne of God in heaven, and they're holding bowls of burning incense, and it describes them as being the prayers of God's people. That in the midst of all that, in the midst of the amazing stuff going on in trying to explain what God is like and what heaven is, explaining what it's like and how amazing it is and how indescribable it is, right in the midst of all that, it says, there's the prayers of people like you and me before God. That in the midst of all that power and might and awesomeness, come our prayers before him. We pray to our Father in heaven, who's personal, who's loving, who's powerful. Prayer isn't about informing God of something he doesn't already know or getting him to change his mind. It's about us coming as followers of Jesus to God, our Creator, who knows, who cares, and is our dear Father. And I think the more we understand that, the more we understand those first words of how Jesus taught us to pray, that we pray to our Father in heaven, the more we'll pray. The more we'll go on to the next stages of that prayer. And the more actually we'll understand what that next bit of the prayer is about, what the next few lines mean. Because if we know that we come to our Father in heaven, then first and foremost, we'll be interested in what he wants. But you have to wait till next time for more about that one.